David, it has been over a year since countries started imposing travel restrictions and lockdowns. Can you tell us the impact that COVID-19 pandemic has on the aviation industry?
Yes, sure. And I don't think it'll be a surprise that the impact is enormous. Globally, passenger loads are down around 60% by average. But that's half down by half for domestic and three quarters for international. So the ICAO estimate is 371 billion of lost money. That's just passenger traffic, and IATA's estimate is bigger because it includes cargo, and that's over $500 billion of revenue down. It's not improved in 2021. So February of this year was down 89% on the same month in 2019. And it's worth remembering that these aren't just numbers representing money. They're people and jobs. And so the tourism industry, the wider industry, is estimated to be down $1.3 trillion from $1.5. So, it's almost all gone. And as a consequence, we have the ILO estimating that there are 250 million jobs lost worldwide. And of those, there's a significant proportion that are in the travel tourism sector, probably about 100 million or more. So, yeah, it's massive.
Yeah. And as much as we'd like to resume travel, we're just confused by all the rules and regulations that airlines and countries impose on passengers, with regard to pre-boarding, testing requirements, and then on arrival. What can IATA do to help with the situation?
It's challenging. We're also, of course, confused because it is a patchwork of different responses. 96 countries currently require testing for arrivals, and about a third of them require more than one test. Also, about a third will accept a test other than PCR, but most require PCR. And in addition, we've got 79 countries that require quarantine. Some will shorten that on the basis of test results, and even a smaller number will exempt that on the proof of vaccination or immunity. So it's all different. That's not surprising because the outbreak is at different places for different countries. So there's a great limit to what we can do to help, but what would help is a risk-based framework to come from an international organization such as WHO, suggesting a way to approach this problem at different stages of the epidemic. In other words, if somebody's traveling from a country with this sort of prevalence to another sort of prevalence, what might be the appropriate measures. We think that would help. And IATA has also introduced its own travel pass as a kind of a way of recording what the person's health status is, matched to their verified identity, so that that could facilitate travel.
That would really help. So in recent months, we also have good news in terms of vaccinations, but we also have bad news about the rapid spread of variants. And so really, what can IATA do going forward with these new complications?
Well, it's certainly true that it makes it much more complicated with the variants, and in some ways, each of those represents an outbreak within an outbreak, doesn't it? And so we just have to monitor the progress, not of simply one pandemic, but really all of these different elements within it. But still, so far, the data seem to be very reassuring as regards testing sensitivity to the various variants of concern that are there so far. And so, one piece of this whole jigsaw, of course, is testing frequently enough to know what's happening with the outbreak. As the DG of WHO said last year, memorably, test. And I think that's still
and that still holds true. Yeah, and so what's IATA's top priority? I mean, there must be so many things to do. Is there one top priority that you could name sort of going forward, other than asking countries to test?
Well, I mean, broadly, the big priority, and the DG spoke about this last week, is to ensure that we open safely as soon as possible. And in other words, turn that around the other way, not to apply restrictions for longer than we need to. Obviously, IATA recognises that we can't just open borders when that's not safe, but when it is, then we certainly advocate for that. We've also pushed for greater use of testing, not just PCR, but also antigen testing in its place, as part of a risk-based framework. So as I touched on before, if you're going from a place with very low prevalence to a place with very high prevalence, there's not a whole lot of point in entering 2 weeks of quarantine on arrival, because the traveler impact we know from modeling when the outbreak is like that is minimal. On the other hand, of course, you're going from Brazil right now to Australia right now, then obviously quarantine is going to be mandatory because the impact is massive.
So is there anything else you'd like to add to speak to our policy group?
I think those main messages are what we've touched on. A risk-based framework that was smiled upon by WHO would be very helpful, and we await with interest what comes out of the emergency committee recommendations in the next few days. And I think greater visibility on what testing can do would be a help. I think there's been some unfortunate messaging about antigen testing, that it's sort of not useful, whereas my understanding particularly from the Harvard studies, Mina and Larimore and so on, is that if you have a strategy for selected groups, be they employees or possibly travellers, who regularly test themselves, which can be done quite easily and inexpensively, that sort of strategy can actually identify people sooner than very infrequent PCR testing, for example. But that's just one piece of a bigger jigsaw.
Well, thank you very much, David, and thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to answer these questions for us. And thank you so much.